people keep bitching and complaining about the refs, certainly from the Detroit perspective at the end of that game, while it was a foul and probably should have been called, there is no way that after the way the officials ref that game yesterday, you could justify having that game end with Tim Hardaway Jr. at the free throw line. I'm not looking at it as the Knicks got a break. Nonsense. We watched the whole game. The way that it was called, good that they had some consistency. Knicks get a win, take a commanding 3-1 lead.
What a wild game, man. I mean, you and I were talking before the show. That's up there. I mean, when you have a big, especially when you're on the road, like it's one thing when you're at home and you come back from 9, 10, 11 points as they did, but when you silence 20,000 people, and the Detroit Pistons fans have been phenomenal. They have been really good. So I know Cat's the focus and Brunson, but Bridges had big shots, couple of threes. But I'm with you. I mean, if they would have blown the whistle there and the Knicks would have lost, I mean, it would have been a disgrace in the sense that it was a foul, but it would not have been consistent with the way they called the game, the series. I mean, there's bodies on the floor every possession.
As a matter of fact, the reason why the Pistons got back into the game was because they just let them play. That type of officiating favors the lesser talented Detroit team.
Always.
The Knicks, here's my biggest issue with it. And we, as Knicks fans in this town, you know, some of us, the older fans grew up in the 90s, but even so, we understand the tough basketball. We love that mentality. So we're all about that. Even this Knicks team, dating back to when Tibbs first got here, was built the foundation, toughness and tenacity like Detroit, okay? And the Knicks didn't have the superstar with Kenny Cunningham, whatever. Point is, the Knicks have evolved. And they built a team for 2025, as they should. That game was officiated like it was 1994. And that's the problem that you had. The way it was officiated was like a 90s game, but the Pistons are built like that, not the Knicks. That allowed Detroit to come all the way back. How many arm bars and near tackles and wrestling moves do we need to see that weren't getting called? So I think it's rich for Detroit or Bickerstaff or any of their fans or Tobias Harris or Tim Hardaway Jr. or Senior. Junior wishes
Jalen Rose jumping in there.
Yeah, all those guys. And Junior wishes he was a fraction of Tim Hardaway Senior, by the way. Yeah. But for them to complain about the officiating, get lost. Did you watch that game? Come on.
I mean, we do a lot of chirping too, but I'm with you. Bickerstaff, it's incessant. I mean, enough. I mean, and it's like this from game one. Now, listen, there's a lot of things that have transpired since got on the air, and really, you had an issue with Brunson, but I eviscerated the Knicks. Although Tom Thibodeau was awful. This goes back early in the series, obviously.
Yeah.
Brunson's ball dominance, you know, Cat's disappearing act, all the things we laid out. I got to tell you, now without getting nuts now, because you guys know where I stand on the Knicks from day one of the season, it hasn't changed fully. It's changed a little bit. I actually think that the way this series is being officiated is doing the Knicks a favor. Yeah, it's mucking it up. Yeah, they're probably more competitive games than maybe you want in a first round series. I don't know. At this point, I do think they close it out in five. I do, although I wasn't sure if they were going to win yesterday. I thought maybe in six. I think that this series is toughening them up. I think it is forcing them to gel as a team, take more responsibility for each other. You never worried about Jalen Brunson hitting the you worried about him hitting the deck and making sure he gets up.
Right.
But you never worried about his toughness. He is a quiet assassin. But I got to tell you, I'm starting to see something from Karl Anthony Towns. A little internal beast is beginning to awaken. And I don't know if that flame gets flicked out when they play the Celtics. But right now, I'm starting to see a guy that I wasn't sure was going to show up in a Knicks uniform. Honestly.
The two things that stood out to me yesterday, toughness and talent. And the toughness has been a question mark all year long. You and I have debated this where, and you weren't alone, a lot of people say, oh, last year's team better. I've heard the callers. Oh, last year's team's better. To me, that was always nonsense because you saw yesterday there was nobody on the Knicks, Hartenstein, DiVincenzo, whatever, that can hit the shots that Karl Anthony Towns hit yesterday down the stretch. For a big to pull up near half court, knock down a three with ease. Yeah. And then fade in the corner.
Yeah.
Those are some of the
backboard, basically.
Those are some of the more difficult shots that you could, let alone for a big man. So the talent, Bridges, who had an awful first half and sort of, but again, just knowing that the potential is there. So there was a ceiling with last year's team. A toughness, sure. Chemistry, sure. But a ceiling. This year's team, to me, the question was the toughness, the chemistry, not the talent. And yesterday, I think you saw it come together where they showed you that toughness. And I still think Karl Anthony Towns, he doesn't have that nastiness that some people like when you compare him to, say, Draymond Green. But he's a competitor. That's the thing. You don't have to be mean and nasty. You can be a nice guy as long as you're a fiery competitor, and he is that. You saw the toughness of Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson. You mentioned Bridges, Anunoby defensively, even though it wasn't there. The toughness and the talent, that is what makes this year's Knicks team so dangerous.
I think the three things that I've been most critical about the Knicks this year, Tom Thibodeau, does he have a next level? My answer has been no, and I'll stand by that and hopefully be proven wrong. Number two was toughness, and number three was the bench. Now, there's just no internal solution for the bench. It is what it is. I mean, you got a lot of guys making big money, a couple of All-Stars, two All-Star starters, and a big and a point guard. And they're going to have to carry the mail. And the wings are going to have to do their job. And that's it. And, you know, Mitchell Robinson's going to have to play 18 to 22 minutes a night and, you know, get 6, 7, 8 rebounds and, you know, stick a few back and do what he does. But, like, this is it. This is who they are. And I'm okay with that more today than I've been at any point this season. Like, there were many times where they could have cowered up this series, and they could have certainly yesterday. When you're to me, the biggest shot of the day was from the guy that I trust the least, and that's Bridges. And I know when Towns stepped back, that Towns' three had to be from 29 feet.
I mean, dude.
It had to be. I mean, it's a horse shot. Really, what it was. But when the Knicks were down 11, and that place was up for grabs, and Bridges stuck that three, that was a stabilization where if he misses that shot, the Knicks lose the game. They don't win the game. And then Brunson, when Brunson goes down, what are you thinking? Are you thinking a kick? Because you don't know right away. We know he's had the jacked up ankle, but for a minute I'm like, did he do something to his ACL? Now, when you saw the replay, you saw that the ankle was involved. But before I saw that, I'm like, did he shred his Achilles like Damian Lillard? Huh. What did you think happened to Brunson?
He seems to be making a habit of this. So I really, obviously it wasn't good, but I'm thinking they got to fight and get back into this game. I wasn't really thinking long-term of Brunson, and here's why. If something happens of significance to Brunson,
the season's over.
So it doesn't really matter.
There's nothing to calculate.
So I'm watching it in real time saying how they're going to survive without him out there, just seeing this team come together. But see, you touched on something, even without Brunson or Bridges hitting that big shot, that's why I would do what they did every single time in building this team. Everybody on the floor, another guy who we should mention, Josh Hart, he was taking a lot of shots.
Yeah, yes.
And I don't mean shots on the court. I'm taking, like, shots from people knocking him.
Who's saying shoot the ball. He played 4 and 5 much.
If he's your worst shooter on the floor.
Which he always is. Unless Robinson's out there with him.
That to me is okay because every other guy, Bridges at any point to get hot. OG, who hasn't had a great series, offensively certainly, he could get hot. Towns, we know, is a beast. Brunson's a beast. And Hart is capable, as we saw last postseason, and again yesterday, of being that engine that could push this team and knocking down some of those shots. He had some big shots in this game.
He had at least three threes. And by the way, I never really doubted his, I've doubted his accuracy because, you know, the stats back that up. My complaint with Josh Hart is you're making it too easy for the Pistons to defend your two big guns. When you're open, there was a play last game where he was literally top of the circle, gets the ball, I forget who, I think one of the wings, so either OG or Bridges, swings it back to him. So instead of catching the ball and literally facing the rim and thinking about you, as soon as he caught, he turned and he was ready to reroute the ball. So what do you do? If you're a defender, you drop back and you get ready to now throw the double, whether it's Towns, whomever gets the ball. At least, even if he missed all those shots, I would have been okay with it. I love Hart, but when he's reluctant to shoot, that's when I say he can't play the minutes that Tom Thibodeau still plays him sometimes.
Do you think now, and remember, my approach was more I want to wait and see what this team does in the postseason.
Yeah.
Do you think now they have at least answered the questions about the toughness? It doesn't mean that they're guaranteed to finish off the series, although we think that they would. It doesn't mean that they're going to beat the Celtics, but the question about does this team have that toughness in them, to me, that was answered. You were the one who had a bigger issue with it. Is it now answered for you?
Not championship toughness. No, it's not answered. It's not answered for me.
But last year's team didn't have championship toughness
either. No, understood. But I'm just focused. You know, I know I referenced last year more than everybody, to stop. But
that's the difference.
I've moved on from last year. This is not a championship team. I'm happy with the win.
Right,
listen,
but I
am I going to have to be that guy today? I guess I will be. Yeah, you almost lost to the Pistons, and I don't even want to be this guy. They almost lost to the Pistons who were, barely a playoff team. Like, I know I'm happy. They're showing more signs.
I'm not talking about championship, though. I didn't ask you that.
Okay, go ahead.
I just said toughness. And the reason why I used last year is because you and so many others, this team's not as tough as last year. Hartenstein and DiVincenzo, and I understand that. But watch this series. This is as tough a series as we've seen the Knicks play.
Mm-hmm. And there couldn't be more physical opponent. There could not be a more physical opponent, to your point. They've answered that bell, right? But there's two types of toughness. There's obviously the overt toughness, you know, like the Oakley Mace guys, and we all know what that is. But then there's also a toughness in trying to get to your spot. And that is one thing I still think they don't have. How many times, that, again, this is a largely positive conversation, but this is part of the conversation. How many times has Karl Anthony Towns, even yesterday when he was great, drive to the rim, put it on the deck, and either not get the shot off and have it stripped away? It happens to too many of their players where they try to turn the corner, and there's just, like, they don't, even OG did it, where I'm like, dude, flush that, man. You are an elite athlete. You can jump out of the gym, cock that thing back, and rock the rim. And if somebody's in your way, take their face with it, because you know you're getting fouled. So you either make a dunk and everybody gets pumped and you yoke it down on somebody, or you get fouled and you still go out there with an aggression, with aggression, or you get both. You dunk it and you get fouled. And it was, he just like tried to baby it. So I know that that was a long way of answering your question. They were playing tougher than maybe I thought they were capable, but there's, in my opinion, it is what it is. For me, they're still not tough enough. They're not tough enough yet.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Reese is on Long Island. What's up, Reese?
How we doing, guys?
Good.
Got to talk Knicks. Got to talk Brunson. I mean, you guys pointed it out a little bit. Prior to that injury, all hell's breaking loose. They're getting out tough. Bit of a nightmare for us Knicks fans. He gets hurt. Honestly, first thoughts through my mind, game over. Series over, and I'm starting to think, are the Brunson Knicks, is this the ceiling? Can't stay healthy when it matters most, 2 years in a row. Lo and behold, the cool, unflustered Brunson checks in, little over 10 left, immediately attacks Schroeder right off the bat,
I'm thinking,
here we go, let's go. And then he proceeds to hit ridiculously tough layups, off glass, not off glass, out of the post, that sidestep three. And this guy, we got to give this man some credit and a moment just to appreciate what he is. In the context of Detroit telling him to do something to himself, all the surrounding hate that's going on about his play style and the foul draws. I know we've all had that conversation, and it's not great. We could count it. We could talk about it, but that's important context.
Here's the thing, though, Reese, and we appreciate the call. Thank you for taking the time to make the call. And we know Brunson, the caliber of player that he is. You do not take bows and get rewards and have your jersey retired and become a legend for first-round victories. And this series is not even over yet.
Yeah.
But last year, okay, they beat the Sixers. They lost again in the second round to the Pacers. Year before, beat the Cavs, lost to the Heat. Like, Jalen Brunson is a star. We believe in Jalen Brunson. He's got to take this team to another level, at the very least the conference championship, before we start talking about, wow, Brunson, give this man his flowers. We know what he is right now. It's not about the first round. It's about much more than that.
There's a bottom lineness to you know, what we talk about in this city. I think that you're right, but I also think that that's unfair and wrong. Like, this guy is so unassuming and so humble, so tough, quietly tough, plays below the rim, which generally doesn't get you the headlines, you know? He's very selfless. Think about what he did with the contract. Let's not forget about that. This guy left $45 million on the table. But there's, to your point, unless he either gets to the finals or wins a championship, I think that the Jalen Brunson legacy is going to be sold a little short. And that is so unfair, because this guy, he truly is a superstar. Well, he is the man.
I guess that was kind of my point. It's not a legacy game. We've seen Brunson do this before. We've seen him do it on the road. We've seen him be clutch. I mean, look at his numbers, the most clutch guy in the league this year. Yep. My criticism after game two was that it was a little too much selfishness. It wasn't that I didn't believe he could be a different player. Again, 11 assists yesterday. You've seen what he could do game three and game four, getting his teammates involved. That's what they need to do to get to another level. We'll see how it plays out, assuming that they put away the Pistons in five, or whenever they put away the Pistons and get into the second round, and then we can evaluate. I'm not looking at that game as a Brunson legacy game, because I've seen him do that before. We saw it last year. We've seen it in this round. So we know Jalen Brunson could do that. The questions were about the other guys. We weren't sure if Carl Anthony Towns could do that here. He's had question marks in the postseason in his career. Man, he stepped up in a big way yesterday. Even getting into it with Tobias Harris, showing some of that toughness that you want to see, not backing down in his way, doing it Maybe not Xavier McDaniel or Anthony Mason or Draymond Green, but he did it in his way. So those are the bigger question marks. I don't know anybody who at this point doubts Brunson other than can Brunson be the best player on a championship team?
Think about this, though, Sal. What sport, one position, is always penalized for no championship? First, in any sport, the position would be quarterback. If you're a quarterback without a chip, you are relegated to, whether it's right or wrong, this is what we do. We relegate you to a different tier. If you are an NBA superstar, star/superstar, and you don't have any championships, you are looked at a little different. So you're right. The referendum this year is really on his teammates because we know that Brunson's it. We know he's a dog. He is all ball and all about it. Big shot, whatever it takes. But if he doesn't get to the finals or win, you know, and there's a conversation for down the road, but I think it's an interesting observation. He's not going to be Clyde Frazier. He's just not.
I guess the way that I would say it, to the caller's point, and I kind of overlooked this because I never really, even though we went into it a little bit, it was never really a big thing. The fact that many people were saying that Cade Cunningham is the best player in this series. But even when we were discussing that, it was just about the potential that he has based on his size and how much easier the game can be for him at times. It's not that he's anywhere near as accomplished as Jalen Brunson. It's not that he's as clutch as Jalen Brunson. We're talking about just if you're taking a player, you'd take the one with the athleticism of Cade Cunningham moving forward, assuming he's going to grow into a superstar. Long way to go. Brunson is a star right now, but we're seeing Brunson, this is as good as he's ever going to be. And the question remains, can somebody of his stature, his size, be a lead, you know, the guy on a championship team?
You know what history says.
No, history says no.
Okay, outside of really Isaiah and one or two others, not many.
Which is why I think many people said, well, Cade Cunningham's the best player in this series, but it shouldn't be based on right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just say that to not point out any of Jalen's deficiencies. If anything, it's the opposite. It's to shower this guy with immense praise. We take him for granted.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like Little League. Oh, Aaron Judge is hitting 409. Yeah, okay. Like, we're used to it. Jalen Brunson does things that are so special so frequently that we almost don't even react anymore with craziness because we expect him to do it.
But I think that's a good thing.
Oh, no, it is. But I think it is because we know he's reliable.
Yes.
And we know he's capable and we know he's consistent. But and he's ours. So that is a very good thing. But I'm saying, like, down the road, I just think because he's a very benign personality. You know, he's not dunking. He's not flashy. He's old school. I think that we will all revere Jalen Brunson. I still think there's going to be, by some, a diminishment of accomplishment if he doesn't win a championship, which would stink.
I guess I might as well just say it here. I'm not going to get too in-depth with it, but obviously we've been dealing with some family stuff. BT, my brother-in-law passed away at the age of 44. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor a year ago. February. So that has been rough for a year. And then, you know, to have it, you know, end the way that it did, actually late Friday morning, early into Saturday morning was awful on our family, my wife. So it's tough. I appreciate you doing the show. So it killed me not to be here the day after the draft. I was listening a little bit. We'll get to that later on. But RIP to my brother-in-law. And once, as a matter of fact, postseason time, I had him on the air on the overnight show.
Okay.
Because I was, you know, complaining about going to my in-law's house for the postseason.
We're
celebrating the kid's birthday, and that's the horrible thing about this.
Wait, is this the TV story?
Yes.
Go ahead.
He's got a six-year-old and 2 4-year-old twins that he leaves behind. It's just horrible. So, but we were going to celebrate either his son's birthdays or whatever it was, whatever holiday, and I'm like, dude, it's Knicks playoffs. Like, I don't want to leave my house. This is going back a couple years ago, so remember, when the Knicks were first in, I think it was the series against Miami.
Uh-huh.
This is a big deal. So I go there decked out. I'm like, all right, make sure.
Wait, so you go there decked out?
I got me and Sammy and my Knicks gear and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I go, Joe's, you got to make sure, bro. Like, this is not your average brother-in-law coming to watch this. This is me now. This is what I do. Like, he's like, yeah, don't worry. We got it. I had him on the overnight making sure the setup is good to go. He's like, don't worry about it. We got everything. You're good to go. All is good. I show up at the house. His TV has a huge crack from the center to the end. I go, what the hell is this? Is this a joke? Are you kidding me? I go, I had you on the air. You didn't say anything. He goes, I don't want to tell you because you wouldn't have come. I go, you're right. I wouldn't have. His son took a bat to the TV.
Athletic genes. Okay, that's a good sign.
And now he eventually got it set up, a smaller TV outside, so all was good, but it just terribly sad for our family. Anyway.
Just real quick. Yeah. I think our audience, we feel horrible for you.
I appreciate that.
I want to say that, you know, everybody here, you've carried this around for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, you know, the audience, they hear the show, they hear our takes. Sometimes they love them, sometimes they don't. They always react to them. There were a lot of times I saw you, and I'm talking to the audience now, I saw Sal get off the phone during a break with his wife, and he's talking about very deep, very sad stuff, and then, boom, lights back on, right back to work. This has been a long time for your family. I'm really, really sorry.
Appreciate that. It's been brutal. Look, it's life, and that's why you don't bring it up, because nobody wants to hear it. We're here to entertain and give you an escape from that stuff. I know everybody's got issues that they go through, but I just wanted to say that was the reason why I was not here on Friday, and I'll miss some days probably next week. But yeah, what was the point of that story? I was getting into it with the draft.
Was it to take a shot at him? No, it was before that. I'm not even sure. You know what the point was, to talk about your brother-in-law, that was the point.
Yeah, yes, but there's a lot of draft stuff that I do want to get into. Mm. So yesterday, before we get back to the calls here, 888-808-1019, I have not placed a bet since the Super Bowl. And yesterday, after watching the pregame stuff, when everybody's like, Detroit, 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 I was like, the Knicks are winning this. And I believe the Knicks are going to win in five.
Yeah.
So I dipped in and did a little Knicks straight and a Knicks parlay. Now, I did a three-team parlay.
Okay.
Knicks. Mm-hmm. Can you take a guess on the other teams?
Mets?
Yankees. What? Knicks, Yankees, Mets.
Listen.
Knicks were up like 20, blowing them out. Mets were up 7-1. Yeah. Yanks had their 11-1 win, whatever it
Yanks
was.
Yanks took care of business for you, if it's any consolation.
Knicks end up sweating out a little bit, but I'm thinking at the time, once the Knicks won that game, I'm like, oh, this is great. I hit the old parlay.
Yeah.
Mets cough it up. We're not going to get huge into that, but point is that I felt strong about that Knicks game yesterday, and I was proud of this team, BT, the toughness that they showed after a lot of people, yourself included, questioned their toughness.
There was a lot of, there's two ways to look at fouls here. Like, there's the obvious foul, like, where somebody just goes through the lane. Like, remember the old video of Kurt Rambis getting decked in the, awkwardly, like, falling into the cheerleaders of the first press row. Like, that's a foul, right? Or Karl Malone giving 45 stitches to Isaiah. That's the obvious stuff. But if you really watch to the Knicks' toughness this series, which I didn't really think that they had, to be fair, the arm bars, like when they're going for rebounds, the amount of like elbows and arm bars and just like legitimate 1980s, 1990s, physical manipulation, and they're coming out on top. It's a good sign to see. It doesn't change my bottom line, unfortunately. I wish it does. That I think that they could beat the Celtics. I don't, but they're flexing a little bit. And it's nice to see Karl Anthony Towns easing into this role in New York and showing that maybe his shoulders are a bit broader than I thought.
Also, the Knicks were attacking. They kept attacking. Now, to a fault, because generally you attacked and there's that much contact, you're getting the call.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't happening, to a point where the broadcaster was like, hey, the Knicks have not learned to adjust here. Drive and kick it out. And then eventually Kat's like, well, screw this. I'm just going to shoot it from 30 feet out and knock them down. So I like the Knicks' toughness in that game yesterday, along with their talent. BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Manny is calling from Bloomfield. What's up, Manny?
Yeah, first of all, Sal, prayers to you and your family. I love you. I love you on the air. I know Carl is butt your top, but you're top tier.
Thank you very much, Manny. We appreciate that very much.
Okay. Now, BT, I mean, what is your fascination with toughness? I mean, 40-year-old Knicks fans like us, we had this fascination with the 90s Knicks. The 90s Knicks didn't win anything because we weren't talented enough. You can't bully your way to a championship. I haven't seen a guy like Karl Anthony Towns ever in Knicks history that could shoot the ball like
I agree with that. I agree with that, man. I do.
Mean, that was unbelievable. I wasn't old enough for Bernard King.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could shoot the ball like that, but that was amazing yesterday.
Yeah,
I
Bernard never shot from that deep. No, he didn't. And Bernard was at a different skill set. But to keep it current, listen, there's obviously different layers of toughness here. And thanks for the call there, Manny. I think my biggest question about the Knicks was the mental toughness, because I realize how much the NBA's changed, where the level of physicality that's permitted has been basically phased out of the game. So it was never this illusion of, oh, the Knicks don't have you know, have the dogs necessarily to go up against Rick Mahorn, John Sally, and Bill Lane Beer. I know it's different, but I worried about, and it, listen, this is round one, and I just have to send a little bit of a cautionary flare. I hate to do it, but I'll do it because I believe it. Across the Nick universe right now, number one. Now, he made it, which is great, but Karl Anthony Towns, if he doesn't stick that 30-something footer, which is kind of a prayer, Knicks probably lose the game. If Bridges doesn't bail him out, and Bridges has been more off than on, Knicks lose the game. And I think that when you look at the forecast for them moving forward, I just don't see it as transferable, because the evidence that Karl Anthony Towns has shown me and us is that the bigger the games get, the smaller he plays. He was awful. He was horrendous in the Western Conference Finals. Now, maybe this year he reshapes his narrative. I'm hoping he does it. Guys, it's round one. It's April. You're supposed to win this series.
I guess my question would be, why did you believe more in last year's team than this year's team? And you could say it in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But now that you've seen this team play four games, they've won three of them. I don't care how the point differential is. They've won three of them against a tough team who people thought was going to give them a lot of problems. It, like, at least to me, and I trust them going in, I've now seen definitively, okay, I'm not worried about Cat. Not to mean that he can't have a bad postseason game or series, but their toughness, the competitive toughness, that is there. So why would you believe more in last year's team going up against the Celtics than this year's team?
Now, what's the thing that I said that you've agreed with as well? I'll give you the one thing, just to keep it short. The thing that really concerns me most about the Knicks, I'll give you the answer. The answer is their two best players are their two worst defenders.
Right.
Hasn't changed.
Okay, but that hasn't changed from last year. Their best players now, Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, are significantly better than what their best players were a year ago.
Yep. So I liked the bench better last year. McBride was healthier. McBride was better. McBride was more involved. I like last year's bench better. But, yeah, I do agree the top two players are better than their top two last year.
Like, by far, and also if you go three or four, Josh Hart was their second best option last year in the postseason, especially once Ananobi got hurt and was compromised. But even if you say third, Josh Hart was scoring 30 a night, it seemed, last year. I forget the exact numbers of it.
Yeah,
but
he went nuts. Yeah.
He's now their fifth. So to Manny's point before, and we said this early in the year, like, I love Patrick Ewing more than anybody. I've never seen a big that could do the things that Karl Anthony Towns can. And then even if
as a Knick or in your life?
As a Knick.
Okay, go ahead.
And then
just make it sure.
And
yesterday, and by the way, there's not many that could do that in ever. But
well,
yeah.
Joel Embiid comes to mind. That when Karl Anthony Towns hit that shot yesterday, my initial thought was, this is what the Sixers fans fell in love with about Embiid, is where at any moment, you just know your superstar can knock one down from anywhere on the floor and take over. And the Knicks have two of those guys now. Not to mention Bridges or Ananobi as their third and fourth options, however you want to put that. That I'd sign for this every time. Does it mean that I think they're going to beat the Celtics? We'll see what happens. Does it mean that I think they're a championship team? We'll see what happens. What it means is I would definitively take this version every single time in comparison to what they've had, not just last year, but years prior, building to get to this point.
Now, but there's two things woven into that one point. And I'll even grant you, I understand that. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is better than Hartenstein. He certainly just does more. He's better. That's it. Period. Over. We know that. But that doesn't mean it's good enough to win big. And that's where we kind of meet in the middle. Like, I'm watching the game yesterday, right? And there was I turned to my son. I said, man, and this, you already made some big shots. I said, doesn't, because I wanted to see how a 10-year-old was going to answer it. Because I'm jaded at this point. I've seen everything. I said, does Karl Anthony Towns look like a good athlete to you? He goes, you know what he said? He goes, he looks like the slowest guy on the court. Oh. And there's just, I know there's big shots, and I know there's a lot of talent, and I know there's, most games there are numbers that are irrefutable. 29 points, 12 rebounds. 35 points, 11 rebounds. I get it. I've watched the entire season. I watched him at Kentucky. Not every night with the T-Wolves, but a lot in the NBA with it early on. I also see sometimes 7, 8, 9-minute stretches where he's on the court, and he doesn't do a damn thing. He doesn't block a shot. He doesn't get a rebound. And he'll try to just bulldoze his way to the rim and very easily kind of have it taken away from him. So there are real flaws in his game. There are real assets that, I mean, again, he does things. Now, maybe Patrick was coming up now. Maybe Patrick would drain threes. With that touch, he might. He actually might. But his flaws to me, for a championship guy, I feel like they're just a little, a little more than his strengths. And again, I hope I'm wrong. Pretty jam-packed weekend. A lot of stuff happening, Sal.
Would you make of, yeah, and we'll get to all of it, the draft. I can't wait to do that in about 15 minutes or so. 888-808-1019. What do you think of Tim Hardaway Sr.? You know, we always reference the 90s Knicks and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Hardaway Sr., a guy that we did a lot of battle with as Knicks fans back in those 90 days. Now to see him... Did you see the video that he posted bitching and complaining about the final call on
his
son?
I mean, I see him every game. I didn't see the video.
Yeah. No, he posted a video talking about, oh, we should have got a foul, blah, 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 blah. Dude.
You didn't.
Yeah, you did. Your son stinks. I'm sorry, dude. Not to be personal. Like, I'm not trying to go dad to son. I'm just saying, like, you're, Tim Hardaway Sr., dude was a beast.
I was terrified when he took big shots.
Terrified.
I thought everyone was going in.
Terrified.
Right?
It's the exact opposite with his son. Oh, Tim Hardaway Jr. shooting it? Go ahead. Yes, please. I wish the Knicks, first of all, the Knicks should have got that loose ball rebound anyway.
Yeah, Hart got fouled. You look at that again. Hart got grabbed and he got armbarred.
I'm not surprised. They were doing that the whole game. I didn't know wrestling was legal. I mean, a Pontiac Silverdome in Detroit was a
93,000 strong, Sal.
Yeah, but come on with these armbars and elbows and physical contact. It was a joke. But Tim Hardaway Jr., we know from when he was with the Knicks. He's he's as inconsistent as they come. He's a poor man's Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh, man. That's an interesting analogy. He's a guy who... Well, first of all, he is what he is. I mean, if he was on, like, a really good team, not just a team that maybe overachieved with toughness and you know, focus and one really good player in Cade Cunningham, he's not starting. That's number one. I think he's a little miscast here. You know, he's a guy who, during the middle of the game, has a lot of first quarters where he goes nuts, and then you don't hear from for, you know, 20 minutes, whatever. Now, he was fouled, obviously, if you missed our take, or if you missed anything, by the way, to start the show. Free Odyssey app, obviously, today and every day. Just go check it out. Hit rewind. It's all free, as I said. Yeah, of course he was fouled, but the way that the tone of the game was set, you got to swallow the whistle there. I don't care what the two-minute report, which did say that it was a foul. But whether it's Tim Senior, Tim Junior, just keep it moving. One more loss and you're out. So pretty much be quiet.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Tom is calling from Howell, New Jersey. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Tom.
You know, I really think that, you know, obviously the toughness is important, but at the end of the day, for the Knicks to be a championship team, it's going to come down to Bridges and Ananobi scoring. And, you know, the basketball just, it's got to be consistent from those two guys in order for them to have a chance against Celtics. Now, if you don't mind me just making one more quick point about Brunson, do you have a problem now seeing, obviously, the injury yesterday, him coming back towards the end of the season to play those last couple games, you know, maybe just taking it easy then, locked into the three seed to get right for the playoffs with his history already of injury, and we knew he wasn't 100% already.
Yeah.
Why was he pushing it to come back there at the end of the season, risking, you know, maybe yesterday wouldn't have happened if he takes a couple more games off or stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, Tom, I mean, there's always a thought on the, you know, too early, too aggressive, whatever, too soft. You talk about players' injuries. I think that was kind of a freak thing where it wasn't like a non-contact thing or where he was just so... I don't know. I mean, when you're going for a loose ball and your ankle gets turned and contorted in a direction that it's not meant to go, I think even if he had the healthiest of joints, maybe that thing would have given him an issue. What I don't understand is, so we always laud his toughness, and I don't necessarily agree with your point there, Tom, though I respect the call. Like, Jalen Brunson, when he stood up, and we saw it when they got back from commercial, and he went right down, I'm like, he's done, dude. You didn't think for a second that he was done?
No.
The way he fell back down?
I'm just being honest with you. In real time, I mean, obviously that's a fear, I think, of every Knicks fan. I was still trying to comprehend what the hell was going on here and how the Knicks could get back on track, because I really believed they were going to win that game. And the whole series would change, obviously, if they didn't. And I was upset with the officiating because I thought that they weren't calling any fouls with the contact. I was in the mindset, as nuts as it sounds, I'm not in the game, obviously. I'm in the mindset of, okay, well...
Next man up.
Yeah, like, he's not there. Go figure it out. Now, watching campaign...
You see the first possession? They had to chuck up a three with, like, two on the shot clock.
Like,
I'm like, you better come back, man.
Right, but I was just kind of watching in real time instead of worrying. And by the way, Brunson has made a habit of this.
I know, he does get hurt a lot.
To answer the call directly, I do not... I give Brunson credit for coming back at the end of the year. I think he was purposely trying to get himself... in game shape going into the postseason.
I agree.
You're just going to show up in the playoffs, so I don't think it did any harm. I think all the minutes has been a good thing with Tibbs. I know minutes police and all that stuff. I think it helps this Knicks team. Brunson, it's been almost every game he's gone to the locker room and changed his shoes and come out or whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, is it too much? Is it going to change his reputation? Not here, around the NBA?
I think his reputation is starting to become
a little floppy.
One. Now, us in New York, we love him. Mm. We know what he is. But I do think that his reputation is becoming even more nationally. Now, remember, too, that comes from having success. And the guy hits every big shot that there is down the stretch. Knicks are having success. But I definitely think his reputation is a flopper.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
Or like a milker of an injury.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. A little overly sensationalizing the falls. Like, yeah, it's funny. Two thoughts. So, and I think he hits the deck, even regular season, every single night. If it's not an ankle, I'm like, did he jam his wrist when he hit into the rim base, you know, attacking the rim and he got fouled? Like, I always think for a second that he's hurt. Now, that's dissipated over time because it's just his thing. I was worried yesterday. I was worried because it looked like when, and we didn't see it right away, like he went down, they went to commercial. I'm like, all right, that's a really an opportune time to take. I know you got to get breaks in it. Trust me, I can't get how the world works here with advertising and TV and radio.
Right,
I mean, I understand you got a job to do. But so they did a good job. When they came back, they showed us what happened, the ensuing sequence. And when he was helped up, he crumpled right back to the ground like he had, whether it was, again, Achilles or, you know, third degree ankle or knee, ACL, MCL. I'm like, I thought for a second, I'm like, he's done for the game. And if he's done for the game, the way that just looked to me very quickly, he might be done for the season.
Right.
I can't believe you didn't get that because he looked like a bag of bricks going down.
No.
Different than he usually does.
No, I was, I'm in a group text with my buddies and they're saying, oh, Brad said game's over. Brunson's toast anyway. So I just, my mind was just, figure out a way to get this freaking win, worry about whatever happens with him. But he does do it all the time, so it is a little, I don't want to say boy who cried wolf because he legitimately gets hurt, but he's a physical player.
Yeah.
How many charges does he take? And he looks like he's getting leveled.
Yeah.
Like every time now that he throws his body out there, hits the deck, he's mastered that.
Well, okay, so let's get to the, let's just expand a little bit more on maybe some of his reputations around the league, right? Do you think, well, I didn't love the Detroit Pistons, you know, the fans, with the chants and all that stuff. I don't like it
either, but I don't like it when the Knicks fans did it.
Oh, so, I don't like it either at all. So Trae Young, somebody spat on Trae Young.
Yeah, I mean, it's disgraceful. Ridiculous. The bleep you chant directed
like
toward a player, it was never my thing. So I think that's a younger fan. I hate that the Knicks fans did it, but now they're getting what they deserve. So if the Knicks fans are going to start that nonsense or be a part of it, then guess what? When your best player goes on the road and Detroit wants to do it, you have to suck it up.
I'm down with that. I think that that's fair. Now, did the Pistons fans jump in and do that because Knicks fans have kind of started that or because they really view him as a flopper? I don't know. I'm like, I think it's probably, I don't know what the answer is. Probably more because they think he's flopping. That's my guess. Because, like, if the Pistons were playing Jason Tatum at the Celtics, they're not giving Jason Tatum that treatment.
But do you think that Brunson is a flopper?
I think he is a very good... Hmm. I think he straddles the line of avoiding, like, over-embellishment, which makes it look too unnatural, where you can say he is a straight-up flopper.
Like Harden in his peak.
Yes, that's a good. I mean, we saw Harden go down where there wasn't even contact. I mean, yes. So I think he sells it very well. I think, honestly, as much as we love wrestling, it's really like somebody selling, you know, getting whacked in the corner. Right. That's just because he's smaller, anything that's done to him seems more real because it seems more believable. But I do think it's becoming a little too much of a recurring situation where people are getting a little tired of it.
Even for my liking, I would... Now, again, he's a smaller guy. There is contact. Does he embellish or manipulate a little bit to draw the foul?
Well, who doesn't at the end of the day, right?
Okay, so is that bad? And by the way, in this particular series, they're letting them play anyway. So he's getting some whistles, of course, but for the most part, that flopping, quote-unquote flopping or embellishing, I mean, the Knicks are getting physically assaulted at times underneath the rim and the whistle's not being blown. So I don't think that has to do with why the Knicks are having success so far in the first four games. I would say me personally, I would like them to tone it down a little bit.
I probably would, too. And you can tell right away what kind of game you're going to get. Like, when you have a defender trying to ride somebody out of bounds.
Oh, my God! Blow the damn whistle! He hip-checked him into the boards!
And that's happened a lot. This series, you know, Schrader's very good at that. Obviously, some of their other players will do that if they do a quick trap. Even if they just, you know, not to steal the ball, just to kind of kill some time and kind of get in the way of the Knicks' motion and flow on offense. You can tell very early in a game, if the refs are letting players do that in the backcourt, that they're swallowing that whistle. And I generally like it, But when it is inconsequential to the play and it's just, you know, just brute, like, all right, I'm just going to push you around, that's not basketball.
Yeah. Too much.
Unless we're doing it, then I love it.
At least be consistent with it. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation with you on the phones, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Let's get to some NFL draft when we come back. I was not in Friday, so I'll get my thoughts on not only the first round here, but we could discuss, BT, what both the Jets and the Giants did over the course of the weekend.